It's Friday, and it's time for Let's Eat with me, Chef Nick. Join us from 3 to 4 for an hour of food, drink, and a little information. Call in and have a chance to win a gift card. Call 769-9577. Thanks for tuning in to Lakeshore Public Radio, 89.1 FM. Good afternoon, Lakeshore listeners. Thanks for joining us on Let's Eat. You're tuning in to 89.1 FM, Lakeshore Public Radio. And I'm Chef Nick, and we're sitting here with Tom Maloney. How you doing, Tom?
Better now.
Oh. Better now.
Well, you know what's funny is Sharon is the usual host.
Yes.
And Jose on the promo was going to be the fill-in.
Yeah, but he's out sick.
So today we have
the third stringer.
Yeah, but he's the big guy. He's the head honcho. He's vice president of radio operations.
Don't tell anybody.
That's Tom Maloney.
Yeah.
So we're three tiers down, but I still have somebody in the captain chair, right?
That's all that matters, right?
That's all that matters.
As long as we get to the destination that we got to go to.
Exactly, because I have no idea how to slide those things up and down and what they do on that board there.
I don't either. I just do it until I hear noises, and, you know, we're good to go, and we make radio happen.
That's right. We're making radio
every
happen.
Every Friday afternoon.
Every Friday afternoon, we talk about food here on Let's Eat. And today we have some special guests. It's a little bit different. I was just telling our guest here, Jody, that I really didn't know much about Meals on Wheels until Belinda kind of filled me in. I've heard about them. I've never seen it operate. I've never really researched it. So now it's time to dive in and find out what Meals on Wheels is all about, Tom.
You want to walk up to the house first?
Let's walk
up to the house first. It's a nice long driveway here.
Yeah.
It's always the worst. Like
I know. And
like
you know
a
what?
Long driveway. Give me a short driveway. You got to plow this every winter? That's what I think about when I listen to these or when I walk on these long driveways.
Yeah, you know what the problem is? When I wear my sandals, because you know I'm from the islands of Greece.
Yep.
The rocks get underneath my toes.
Yeah,
stuff,
oh, that's painful. That's painful.
Very painful.
Okay, we're here.
We're here? Oh, I hope they answered the door. Jody! Keith, Chef Keith, how you guys doing?
Wonderful. Happy Friday.
Happy Friday.
Welcome.
It's a happy Friday. It's a sunny Friday, and it's a happy Friday. And today we're going to be talking to Jody Bella.
Yes.
And Chef Keith Peffers from Meals and Wheels. They're going to explain Meals and Wheels to us. And what's cool about Meals and Wheels, it's like a almost like a community service to help people out, and they're gonna tell us what to do. But if you have a question for Meals on Wheels, call in 769-9577, 769-9577. And Jody and Keith, they brought some nice little gifts that we can mail out to them, like umbrellas. And what else you got there, Jody?
We have some cups, and we have some T-shirts.
There you go. So give us a call, 769-9577. Get something from Meals on Wheels. Jody.
Yes.
We'll start with you.
Okay.
Now, you're the big boss, right?
No.
No, you're not? Okay. Well, explain what your position is.
I am business development and marketing, so I get to go out into the community and help people like you discover what we actually do. You are not alone in the world. A lot of people have heard of Meals on Wheels, but a lot of people do not know what Meals on Wheels is. Some of that is because of the 5,000 that there are across the country. We're each our own little slice of the pizza.
So wait, there's 5,000 different Meals on Wheels branches or membership bases across?
Branches across the country, yeah. Mm-hmm.
Are you guys, how many are in Indiana?
More than one.
More than one.
So, Jody, are you guys kind of interconnected? You guys communicate with each other? Or are you just like your own little pilot ships out there?
You know, it really depends on where you are. We do, in the state of Indiana, we do communicate with each other. And we're all just a little bit different. So, for example, we are based here in Merrillville. We cover Lake Porter, Newton, Jasper counties. But we do the food also for LaPorte County. So they don't have a kitchen, whereas we do have a commercial kitchen. And hence why we have our fabulous chef, Keith. So each one kind of has the ability to adapt to what they need to in that community. And it's always just a little bit different based on what that community needs. Meals on Wheels actually started over in England after World War I. And it was started by nurses who were seeing soldiers coming back from the war, families that had lost, you know, homes and those kind of things, needing food. And what they would do is they would make food and deliver it to people using baby buggies or prams. Hence, Meals on Wheels.
I would never have thought it was something that old. I would have thought it was something that was a little bit more recent, you know.
Yeah, it came to the United States in 1950, started in Philadelphia, and moved across the country from there.
And how long have you been with Meals on Wheels?
I have been with them for 7 years.
And what did you do before this?
I worked for high net worth wealth advising.
Okay, now are you from the area originally?
No, I'm originally from Cincinnati, Ohio.
Oh, okay. Keith, Chef Keith, how are you?
I'm doing wonderful.
Same question. Give us a little bit of history about yourself.
I've actually, June 1st will be 1 year at Meals on Wheels. So I'm still relatively new, and I've got a lot under my belt now, but it's every day's a new adventure.
And what's your official title?
Director of Food Services.
Okay, and you've been there for a year. So what did you do before you got into Meals on Wheels?
Before I came here, I was working for, 219 Tap Room in Chesterton.
Okay.
Helped them open that place. Prior to that, I worked for a company called Flick Independent School Dining, which they do, private boarding schools and things like that. So I was at La La Mer in La Porte. Before that I was at, Purdue, North Central, which they call now Purdue Northwest Westville. And I was there for a few years. And then prior to that, I owned Pumps on 12 in the Pines.
Oh, okay. Yeah, I've seen that. I think I've seen that place. And where did you go to high school?
I went to Chesterton.
Oh, you went to Chesterton. So you're from the area.
Yes, I am.
So how's working, you know, I've worked in many kitchens too. So how's working at Meals on Wheels compared to working at other restaurants? Because Meals on Wheels is not a restaurant. It's more like a institutional kitchen,
absolutely,
right?
Absolutely. It's probably one of the best kitchens I've worked in. They did a fabulous job planning this thing out. They've got all the equipment that I need, and then some. And, you know, in fact, we just got a new oven, and I feel pretty spoiled, actually.
I have a question.
I feel pretty spoiled.
As many as you want.
In my kitchen, I have an oven and a stove and a microwave. I don't think I would call it an institutional kitchen. What is an institutional kitchen?
When you can cook 240 pounds of meatloaf in one oven.
Yeah, I can't do that. Okay, so it is what I'm thinking. Yeah. It's a big kitchen that you'd see like in the movies when they run in through like a restaurant or something and they're like, well, you know, fighting in the kitchen, or they're in a hotel and they're cooking and it's just a big kitchen with a lot of big stuff, big refrigerators, big
stoves.
Serving
a lot of people, but yeah, very, very controlled.
Absolutely.
There's a difference between the restaurant kitchen and an institutional kitchen.
Okay.
I mean, restaurant kitchen, yeah, you try to control things. You got the border health coming in. You got the fire marshal coming in. But when the cooks cook, there might be a little bit of differences sometimes, you know. But in its institutional kitchen, it's like an army kitchen.
Okay.
It's like everything's – am I right or wrong,
you're,
chef?
You're spot on.
You know, everything is got a recipe card. It's got procedures. You got to follow them all and follow them through. There is no shortcuts.
Is that to make sure that all of the food is identical, or is that just to make life easier on the line for all the cooks? What's the reasoning behind that?
Well, consistency is one big thing, to make sure that, you know, everything is coming out the same. You know, efficiency, too. I mean, it's the efficiency of everything. The way that we have things laid out, I mean, it's clockwork, you know.
They know how many burgers go on the grill. If you're doing burgers, I mean, you know exactly what's going on.
Right.
I mean, you make a batch, you know you're supposed to get these portions because, well, someone like Meals on Wheels, Jody, where do you get your funding from?
We are actually what we call, private nonprofit, and our clients are what we call partial private pay clients. So they pay a portion of the cost of the food. And then what we do is we fundraise to keep that cost at a reasonable cost. The majority of our clients tend to be older adults who might be on a fixed budget and come to us for a number of reasons of why they might need those meals. So that's where that money comes. And Keith does a fabulous job of helping us
stretch it,
keep within that budget, and provide just this wonderful food that ever since he's come, the food has just been fabulous. Everything, we do a lot of scratch food now, and it's just wonderful. Back to kind of the industrial thing, it's also because what we do also is a lot of what we call therapeutic meals in in our area of nutrition, and that is going to be somebody who's managing a chronic disease. So somebody who is diabetic, somebody who is on a renal diet, has kidney disease, those kind of things. We are able to tell them exactly, you know, how many calories are in that meal, what different nutrients are in that meal. They're all low sodium, and so that requires us to keep it at a certain, you know, level. They are all portioned based on a 2,000-calorie diet and created by a registered dietitian. You don't always have that in a restaurant, and you don't you don't have that level of therapeutic that you do also. So that lends itself also to
It's like a hospital, right? I mean, how the hospital kind of, but better.
Yes, but much better.
Better, because I know in it used to be in the hospitals, you get some pretty good food.
Yeah. Mm-hmm.
But now it seems like, I think they slack it all out in its entrees.
I don't want to name names, but my wife and I had our son a couple of years ago. I was unimpressed by the hospital food. I hadn't had hospital food probably since I was a kid, since I'd been in a hospital, and it was just like, this is really, really awful. I'm going across the street. Honey, what do you need?
You're right.
And it's because they're trying to watch the labor, and it's all about a lot of it's because of labor costs. That bleeds into how much it costs to make the food.
Mm-hmm. So what's labor like? How many cooks do you have on the line? How many people do you have in the kitchen on a regular day?
There's about four to five of us that are always cooking. Mm-hmm. I do have some. They used to call them dietary cooks, but they help us actually portion the food, put the food through the tray line, help prep the food. So all together, there's probably 15 people in the kitchen.
Wow.
And then we do rely a lot on volunteers.
Yeah, the logistics. I mean, just to put up, how many people do you serve a day?
We do over 1,500 meals a day.
Wow. Is that now? That's why you call
it 1,500 meals. So that could be two or three meals at a house per day, right? It could be two or three people at one house or one location, I guess. Or are you actually going out to about 1,500 different houses?
Yeah, it's probably closer to about 1,500 houses.
Wow. Yeah. And when you drop this off, is it all three meals at one time and they heat them up? Or is it all hot, ready to eat? I mean, how is it all?
It's all hot, ready to eat. And we're usually only dropping off of that midday meal. And then if somebody chooses, they can also get what we call a cold supper, which is going to be a sandwich mm-hmm. and a side and another beverage and stuff. And we do frozen meals for the weekend because we don't deliver on the weekend. So we'll deliver those on Friday for the weekend. We try to deliver mostly between the hours of 11 and 2. Mm-hmm. We also serve what are called congregate sites throughout the counties, and those are senior citizen sites where they might go, well, obviously not this past year, mm-hmm. where they would have lunch and some activities and those kind of things. We provide the lunch for those, and then we also do children's daycares. So we're doing a wide variety of food, and Keith starts about 6 a.m. with his staff, and I would say by 10:30, everything's out the door.
Wow. Folks, you're joining us here on Let's Eat, 89.1 FM, and we have sitting in the studio with us from Meals on Wheels, we have Jody Bella and Chef Keith Peffers, and they're explaining how Meals on Wheels works. I mean, this is all kind of new to me. Mm-hmm. I mean, and 1,500 meals a day is like crazy.
It's a lot.
I mean, if I did 1,500 meals a day, I'd probably have a nice hammock somewhere in Florida, because that's a lot of meals with a lot of profit. But how do you manage all that? Because Jody's telling us how, oh, you got people that can't eat salt. You got people that have, like my dad, he had a kidney transplant. So, he had a certain dietary thing. How do you manage all that? I mean, you're doing 1,500 meals. I mean, how many choices do people get in a day?
Well, actually, for the hot meals, they do have two choices. They send out the menus the month prior, and they get to pick out which choice they want. And as far as the therapeutic meals goes, it is amazing. It surprises me that it all gets done every day and gets to the right person. I mean, it really is. It's organized chaos in there. It truly is.
Because, that's the point. That's the part that would really make it harder is, like, the special meals that are going out. Folks, also, if you want to call in, 769-9577, Meals on Wheels, they have brought some gifts, some umbrellas, some T-shirts. Call in, ask us a question, and you know what? Lakeshore Public Radio will mail it out to you. How do you get involved with this? How do you get, you know, volunteers? I know you're looking for drivers.
Always.
So how do you get involved? Is there a number, a person, a contact we can
call? Yeah, if you're interested in volunteering, you can contact our volunteer manager, which is Charlie. And Charlie can be reached at 219-756-3663, and he would love to hear from you. In delivering those meals, we have over 50 routes that we do every day. And of those routes, I want to say 47 of them are volunteer. So that's 47 people that he has to make sure are out
lined
there.
Lined up,
yep,
and
every day.
Ready to go every
and
day.
And if you've ever managed any, you know, a restaurant or any place, you know, somebody's always calling off. Mm-hmm. So, yeah, we're on a daily basis.
So you have your own specific trucks that are labeled and everything?
We do. Now, most of our volunteers use their own vehicles, but what we have is we also have a group of drivers that will take the food out to ancillary sites so that volunteers don't all come to the kitchen here in Merrillville. So if you're delivering in Hammond, there's a site in Hammond that you would go and pick up your meals from. And so we have drivers that take the meals out.
So you don't have
to
drive to Merrillville, go back to Hammond, or back out
exactly.
to Chesterton.
Exactly.
Okay.
Yeah.
So can people just walk up and get something?
No. Okay. You really kind of have to let us know ahead of time just because of all those stipulations. Like, one of the reasons Keith doesn't like me is if we were just doing 1,500.
One of the reasons.
You know, of those 1,500 meals, you hit the nail on the head there when you were talking, Nick, of all the things. There are four main diet types that we work off of, and those four main diet types, then we do 22 different modifications.
Wow.
So we accommodate allergies. We accommodate, you know, special needs of individuals. Sometimes individuals coming out of the hospital that have had a vent or something, and we find this more, you know, especially with COVID and stuff, you need softer foods or a mechanical diet, which means your food's already chopped up and those kind of things. Mm-hmm. There's just you wouldn't realize, you know, how many different things there are. Don't get me started with gluten-free and dairy-free.
We do gluten-free, but we're not like a certified gluten-free facility. I mean, did you guys get,
No, we did
but
not
you
get
offer
certified.
It.
Right. Mm-hmm. And we also don't do kosher meals either, just because that's just a little cost prohibitive for us to do.
So, Keith, who comes up with the items, the meals, the entrees, the proteins?
I have our culinary manager, Julie, and I have been putting together the menus. We do have to go off of standardized recipes. So through the vendor we purchase our food from, they've got a system that helps us with the recipes. It's a matter of just, you know, coming up with ideas. It's like a jigsaw puzzle trying to put together because we're on a five-week menu cycle. So, you know, we try to balance it out so, you know, their choices of meals. It's not chicken and chicken. It's chicken and beef or fish and pork. So, you know, we try really hard to balance the meals.
Mm-hmm.
And
go ahead.
I will say through my experience and things like that, you know, cooking for older people is a little bit different just because they're used to that comfort style food.
Right.
And, you know, so we're not getting real fancy. We're just trying to do something that's real quality, that's fresh, and that we know that they'll enjoy.
Now, when these people get these meals, what kind of containers do they come in? Is it all microwavable kind of?
Mm-hmm.
So you have that where it's like a dual microwavable oven and kind of where they can
Throw it in the oven or in the microwave.
Correct. Well, that's kind of, and then so on the weekends they get the frozen portion so they can do it. So how do these people that qualify sign up? I mean, what do they have to go through? Because as me and you were talking through the parking lot, some people pay a little bit and some people, I don't know if they don't or not, but can you tell us a little bit about that?
Sure, I can. There's no qualifications, okay, to do this. So if you would like to be what we consider private pay, which is somebody who's paying the portion of the meal cost, you would simply call and register for the meals, and you can also register online. We do have clients who might be more financially vulnerable, and we're going to refer them to our area agency on aging, which is Northwest Community Action, and they are the ones that would take care of administering the Older Americans Act meals, which are what someone might consider the federally funded meals. So they would be the ones that would refer these clients, and so those clients would have additional funding available to them to take care of them in their home and those kind of things. So,
now, how does the general public, other than volunteering, how can they get involved? How can they help?
We're always looking for donors, and we're always looking for people to help us spread the word. You know, I'm always willing to come out and explain, because as you can see, it's not just a cut and dry program. Mm-hmm. And I'm always willing to come out and talk to people about it. You know, a lot of our clients that we get to are individuals coming out of the hospital who are still recovering. You know, there's a lot of reasons someone might need nutrition. If you are somebody who's recovering at home by yourself, you know, it's I don't know how you guys are, but when I don't feel good, the last thing I want to do is make myself the right kind of food that I should have to make myself feel even healthier. So, you know, we do a lot of that. We do women who are pregnant and on bed rest. Kids on the autism spectrum who might be homeschooled, cerebral palsy, MS, Parkinson's. There's a ton of reasons why someone might choose us. And so helping spread the word that we're here and we're able to help people is also something that we're always looking for.
That's pretty eye-opening, because for me, I always just assumed Meals on Wheels was just, oh, it's for grandparents, it's for older individuals who live at home, who don't have access to go to the grocery store on a regular basis. Mm-hmm. You know, now hearing it's like, oh, you're helping pregnant women. You're helping children who are homeschooled because of whatever health issues there might be. Like, it really does cast a wide net in terms of society. So I guess it's not at all surprising that, oh, 1,500 meals a day sounds pretty logical at this point when you're covering three counties across northern Indiana here.
Yeah.
So yeah, pretty remarkable to hear that kind of being put in
the achievement to do that every day, 5 days a week, to be able to put that out and to be organized, mm-hmm. and to be to meet all the specifications of the government. And you probably have higher ups that are coming in looking at what you guys do and check things out. That's an amazing feat, because as Chef Keith probably knows, when you work in restaurants, there is some little playing room. There is some leeway, you know what I mean? And you get to know the health department. And when they see you being a smaller guy, they, you know, they look and they'll tell you things. Compared to being Meals on Wheels, they probably come down very hard and make sure everything, because you're feeding so many people.
Right.
So, Chef Keith, describe like a basic meal, how it is, like protein. What's offered in like a basic meal? Do you cover all the bases when you...
Absolutely. You know, we always, for the hot foods, we always have, you know, we've got a protein. Today we had boneless chicken wings, and then the other option was we did a citrus dill salmon.
Which we have here.
Correct.
Is that what's on this plate?
That's for you, Tom.
Oh, wonderful. It. Okay, I guess explain what am I looking at here? Obviously salmon, but...
You know what? The way Tom the says fish. It is not... how it looks or tastes, okay? It looks very good.
I like salmon, so.
Well, believe it or not, it's actually wild-caught salmon that we get from a vendor in, outside of Chicago in Villa Park. And we roasted that and threw obviously some citrus dill sauce on there. It's mm-hmm. got lemon, lime, and orange.
The dill is really good. Really stands out on the flavor. I like that.
We use fresh dill on there, so...
Now, your vendors, Chef, how do they – do they have to go through a process to get I want to say qualified, or say it's okay for them to deliver to you? Do they have to go through some kind of – like me, I'm going to sell you feta. Do I have to go through something to introduce, or I just go right to you?
I just go right to me.
Oh, and you're the one that determines – who's your biggest vendor, one of your biggest vendors that you have?
Gordon Food Services,
and they are great.
Made broadliner,
and they are good. You know, I mean, that's one place I've been in their warehouses. That is a top notch.
So a little behind the scenes here for Let's Eat. Every time Nick comes in on a Tuesday to record the promo for Let's Eat, he is either just coming from or just going to Gordon Food Services.
Yeah, that's right, a little down the road. Like,
so he uses the excuse to come to the station in Merrillville to swing over to GFS. So now you know, Northwest Indiana, when you hear the promo starting on a Tuesday or Wednesday and Nick has just been in the station, you know part of
his routine
now.
You know where I'm going. I'm going to go right after this. I got to go and get something before I go to the restaurant.
Right, right. But
How's the salmon?
That salmon is really good, and I love salmon. But do you then, like, for side dishes, so say it's salmon and your other option is some sort of a beef, right? Is it the same side dish of, like, rice and green beans, or is it different based on the protein, or is it just the protein is the thing that changes on the plate for the meal, so to speak?
I mean, like I said, we always offer the sides. Today we had what they call a garden rice pilaf, and it went with they call it a Normandy blend. It's got a mixture of broccoli and cauliflower and carrots. And
is that on the plate out there too?
That is not on the plate. I didn't bring any sides. I just brought the good stuff.
All right. Well, how about desserts? You guys do any desserts, or you kind of steer away from
that? We sure
do.
We have a full components in all the meals. So along with your hot meal, you're going to get a bag that's got a roll and either a salad or whole fruit or dessert, and then something to drink also, whether it be milk or juice.
Okay. Sounds pretty good. Folks are joined here with Let's Eat, Tom Maloney, me, Chef Nick, and we have Meals on Wheels here. We're on 89.1 FM. If you want to call in, 769-9577, 769-9577. Meals on Wheels, Jordy and Chef Keith have brought some goodies that we can mail out. Just call in, give us a question, ask them a question, and we'll be happy to send it out. You know, you're talking about all these volunteers that go out, okay? Mm-hmm. Do they stay on the same route usually?
Most times, yeah. We have some volunteers who are willing to do just about any route. It depends on their comfort level.
And the reason why I ask that, do they get an attachment sometimes?
Yeah.
See, I can see that happening. I can see
to the people they're delivering to.
Sure.
Okay.
Mm-hmm. I mean, they actually, you get them where they want that route because there's Mrs. Smith's over there, and
right.
They want to make sure Mrs. Smith's okay.
Yep.
Now, you got these people out there. Are they sort of like helping out with the well-being if they see something like, hey, something's not right there, or can you tell us a story? Has anything like that ever happened?
Yeah, I can tell you a million stories. So
they're out there. They're kind of exposed.
They are. And that is something that we are able to do that, like your DoorDash and your Grubhub's not going to do. We call it a wellness check. And what we do is we report back into what we call a change of condition. So you are going to have those volunteers who, like, they do it every Tuesday. So they mm-hmm. always know that Mrs. Smith is, you know, she's always dressed just right. And Mrs. Smith is always very cheerful when she gets to the door and everything. And because individuals who volunteer for us are just this incredibly compassionate people, they're very attuned to people. So then, like, if they deliver to Mrs. Smith one week and she's just, you know, a little disheveled and she's not quite as happy as she used to be, they're calling us and letting us know right away.
Yeah.
And so then we can follow up with any kind of an emergency contact or anything like that. And I can tell you, you know, it's a good story, but it's a bad story. You know, there's the older adult. We had a lady. Kids lived one in North Carolina, one in California. And she actually slipped in her bathtub.
Mm.
And she was caught in her bathtub. And, she couldn't get out and couldn't get to her phone. And so when our driver went the next day to deliver lunch, of course, she didn't answer and everything, and we start our protocols.
Mm-hmm.
So we call emergency contacts, and, you know, we were able to then call the police department, who was able to open the door and then call the fire department to get her out of the tub.
Wow.
She was physically fine, cold. You know, she had been able to pull a towel down, and she said the worst part was, you know, them finding her naked. Mm-hmm. And she said it was such a comfort for her. Because when she realized she couldn't get out or anything, she said she didn't have to worry. She just knew she had to get to lunchtime.
Yeah.
Because she knew as soon as she didn't answer the door
mm-hmm.
that somebody would take care of. Somebody would contact.
The response would get triggered down. Mm-hmm. Yeah. Yeah.
So she knew she had to get to lunch. And, of course, it's very comforting to those of us who live not close to our parents anymore. So the daughter in California and daughter in North Carolina, we were able to go, hey, got mom to this is what happened to mom. And,
yeah.
You know, we got it taken care of. Mom's at the hospital and she's going to be okay. So, you know, it's about taking care of each other too.
Mm-hmm.
On
mm-hmm.
a grand scheme and a community thing. So those kind of stories happen all the time. You know, somebody might slip and fall, and when you go knock on the door, you help them out.
Like you say, it's like I never would have thought of that with Meals on Wheels.
Yeah.
I would never thought. It's almost like a little bit of a safety net.
It is.
For some of the elderly people.
Mm-hmm.
Now, what's the biggest group of people do you serve? I mean, is it just elderly, or is it...
I would say we're predominantly older adults. Yeah. You know, you just get to that point. You could definitely see generational in who we serve. More and more younger people will use our services after a physical, you know, the surgery, the, you know, breaking of the leg, the something, and the wife's got to go back to work, but the husband's still got to stay home. So, you know, somebody's going to make sure that they're still checking on that individual. But yeah, mostly we have older adults, and for a variety of reasons. We still have some that are in that generation where the wife cooked all the time.
Right.
And so if the wife passes away, now dad's at home.
Yeah.
And not that you can't survive on soup and everything, but the kids get a little concerned and, you know, want a different meal for dad at home. It's hard to cook for one, guys. I don't know how you are.
Mm-hmm.
If my husband's not making dinner, I'm a
Keith is.
Yeah. Yeah.
It's
I hadn't
salmon.
Thought of that,
it's
but
good.
That's a good,
good
idea. You know, I'm a cereal girl.
Uh-huh.
You know, I'm going to make myself a bowl of cereal. I'm not going to make myself a whole meal. And that doesn't change as you get older. You know, you just, you know, so. But we all know how important food is to our health. So it's a good idea to always have at least one meal a day that's really good.
Keith, how's the virus affected you and what you do back in the kitchen there?
Well, this I'm about ready to be done with the mask thing. That's for sure.
Well, we all have our shots. We're ready to party.
Exactly, exactly, exactly.
I have my card. Let's go to Lauderdale. Lauderdale.
You know, it's obviously been a challenge for everybody, but looking at the good aspects of things, you know, it really makes you pay attention to like sanitation,
mm-hmm.
And making sure that everybody's washing their hands and we're wiping door handles and. And the no-contact delivery system that we have, even though this hopefully this all goes away, it's going to change people's habits as how we live every day, and it's not necessarily a bad thing. You know?
No, we might never get the flu again.
Yeah. Exactly. I haven't had a cold in over a year.
Right. Yeah.
Who we got in line, Tom?
We've got actually from over the state lines. We've got Greg from Crete. Greg, welcome to Let's Eat.
Hello, how are you?
Good. Got a question for our guests here?
Well, I'm involved in Meals on Wheels in Will County here in Illinois. And we operate pretty similar to what they have described, but there are some differences. But we cater primarily to seniors, and we do have a portion of our clientele that do get the meals for free, but they also do solicit them to contribute what they're able to.
And what do you do there? What's your title?
Well, I'm a volunteer. I deliver the meals.
Oh, okay. And how many meals do they put out a day, do you know?
Well, we come out of a church in Monee, and we have five routes and about 115 meals in those five routes. But Will County also has similar locations in Frankfort, Joliet, Lockport, all over Will County, so I couldn't tell you the total that we do, but out of the little church in Monee, 115.
So how many days do you deliver?
I just do Mondays.
So you got Tuesday, Wednesday, Thursday, Friday ready for Maryville's Meals on Wheels? No?
No, I'm busy. I do other volunteering as well.
Oh, so. That's really good. So what satisfies you about working for Meals on Wheels as a volunteer?
Well, I started probably about 12 or 13 years ago, and I had to take some time off when my wife got sick and passed away from cancer.
I'm sorry.
And I just enjoy staying busy and helping people, and I can say that most of the people on my route truly need that meal that I'm bringing them, and many days I'm going to be the only human that they're going to talk to.
And that's great. That really is. That's a human thing you're doing there. That's really. You know, I look at Jody. Jody looks like she's like kind of a. Is she an emotional person? She seems like she's.
She's cold.
Because you're talking, and this looks like she's like she's feeling it. So what we're gonna do is we're gonna send you out probably a gift from Meals on Wheels, an umbrella or something like that, or a T-shirt or something. Okay.
All right. Thanks to your guests for doing what they do.
And thank you for doing what you do. You're a very important part.
Thanks a lot.
Thank you very,
thank
very
you,
much.
Thank you, Greg. And again, phone number to call, 219-769-9577, 219-769-9577.
You know what, Keith, being a chef, and I'll tell you a little personal story. I worked for, I told you, Santini's, which was a chain. And my second day in there, I started making some stuffed green peppers, and everyone loved them. And then the area supervisor came in and threatened me with my job because it wasn't what was on the menu. I wasn't allowed to do that. Can you use your creative skills to do what you want, or you have to stick to what the dietitians say? Or do you have, you got to be out there saying, hey, I want to make a beef Wellington, or I want to do this. I know there's things you got to, because of costs and stuff, you got to bring in line. But right. Do you have fun with that? Do you have a little fun with creating?
What's really been cool and something that I have never experienced is we've gotten some very generous donations and food donations. A couple of them were through some government programs through this COVID thing. And I was given a lot of product. I'm talking pallets.
Okay.
And it was basically, here you go. What are you going to do with it? And that's kind of like where, that's what I like to do.
Okay.
Because it's not really Iron Chef thing, but it's, what can you do with this?
So when you get these pallets, and if the food's donated, do you still stay under that strict how much it costs per unit to go out, or can you just kind of?
Well, I'll tell you, obviously that's going to help the bottom line. If I can get some free stuff, then I can spend maybe a little bit more money. We had shrimp scampi.
That's good.
Nick, I think I'm going to sign up.
I don't believe you. I don't believe you can get that in the hospital.
Yeah. No, you don't get much in a hospital. I've been in them a lot lately. So you were talking about people donating. Are there grocers in this area? Can you give a shout out to some of the grocers that help you?
Oh, I can definitely give a shout out to Streck and Van Til. They might not help us with product, but they are a huge supporter, especially their Roundup campaign that they do for us. They have board members that help guide us with, administration and all of that, and, some one-off things that they'll do for us. Streck and Van Til is a huge supporter of ours, and we just can't thank them enough.
Streck and Van Til is also an underwriter of Lakeshore Public Radio. Sorry, that's the public radio side of me coming out, so people know.
And so thank you to Streck and Van Til.
That's right. That's right.
That's good.
Yeah. Yeah.
So since the COVID, was there a surge? There a surge in what you had to put out? Can you tell me what you started with and how it went? Did you have – look at Chef Keith's face is red.
Yeah.
It's
yeah.
surging. But was there what were you at before and what did it go up to? Has it went down or has it stayed the same?
It's gone down a little bit, but we had a 36% increase.
Wow.
Yeah.
On 1,500?
Yeah.
Wow.
We are very much if someone comes to us and says, hey, we need to do this, we are very much we'll agree to do it and then figure out how to do it.
Okay.
So, for example, when a lot of the senior congregate sites were closed, they wanted to deliver meals to those individuals at home. And so we said, yeah, we can do that. And then we went to Keith and said, hey, how can we do this?
So you put the cart before the horse?
No, it's just creative,
I don't know how we do our stuff here, Tom. We've got to work that way.
It's a little creative.
And that was, going to Keith and going, so what we'd like to do is deliver, five frozen meals to 300 clients every Monday, additional clients.
Yeah.
And can we do that starting next week?
And it's Friday afternoon.
Right, yeah.
Yeah.
That's not even a lie either.
Yeah, we really isn't. so we did a lot of things like that. Some different programs offering that. There were a lot of older adults who chose to stay home and quarantine.
Yeah.
And there's just different things that go with that. All of us were probably pretty adapted, if not welcoming of, yeah, bring my groceries to me. That's awesome. But, you know, they don't have maybe those tech skills where that comes easily to them. Or they had a son or a daughter who was bringing them meals, and now that son or daughter isn't able to do that
for whatever reason. Has to keep their
distance. Exactly. Yeah, yeah. So, yeah, we really increased a lot.
So you deal a lot with the homeless, I mean, true homeless, like the ones that are under viaducts. Do you guys ever go out there and just hand out food or anything like that?
We recently have done that. We've done again, I went to Keith and went, hey, so we agreed to do this. Help us figure this out. And Keith created these box lunches that we were able to distribute out to the homeless. So we worked with Hammond City Rescue, and we worked for Continuum of Care, helping to get to the different shelters and those kind of things to get to the homeless. We also did a program with Continuum of Care where some of the homeless that were coming out of the hospital that had had COVID, we were able to give them meals for a couple of weeks while they were recuperating, just to, you know, help them even recover stronger.
As a just an average Joe that wants to, can I just come in there with my beef round and give it to you and you can use it? Or how can somebody just bring you some food, or do you,
it all depends on what it is. I mean, if it's a shelf stable thing, like, you know, we've gotten bags of rice.
Okay.
You know, some flour and things like that, which I can use. As far as, you know, doing something that has to be kept at a certain temperature, refrigerated, I wouldn't accept that just because I don't know if
they. Do you guys get
sit
that?
In their car.
You don't get people that come up like, here's a bunch of cans of corn, or
you know,
it's probably hard to do a menu too. I mean, you got to have enough for 1,500.
Exactly. Yeah. Yeah. Usually, what we do is somebody is wanting to do that, we're going to refer them to a local food pantry.
Okay.
Somebody that can utilize those foods and get it to the right individuals immediately.
Yes. Chef, do you do soups? You ever sent out soup? That's a sloppy one, but I'm just wondering.
We have not done soup since I've been here.
Okay, that seems like it's kind of. It would
require a different packaging.
Yeah.
For sure.
Folks, 769-9577, 769-9577. Call in. Get a gift from Meals on Wheels. I'm happy to have Jody Bella here and Chef Keith Peffers here from Meals on Wheels. We only got like maybe 10 minutes left. The hours went by really fast. Mm-hmm. It's kind of cool. We got an administrator and we have a chef here. So it's, you know, and they seem to get along pretty well. You guys, how you guys do? You guys get along pretty well?
We do. Yeah.
It seems that way. Let me ask you this, Chef. Being someone that's in the culinary arts and everything, do you ever venture out and do some contests, or do you do anything like that? Any farmers markets or anything like that?
I'm too busy at work. Actually, I did that. Years ago, I really haven't done that.
Do something to represent Meals on Wheels. That's why.
You know, we have actually talked about doing that. In fact, last week we were talking about doing some more of that stuff. It's just been, you know, obviously with this the pandemic, it's been hard to go out and really do anything.
Yeah.
So, we're hoping that when things start getting less restrictive, that we'll be able to go out and show off.
I got a question. Going back to the kitchen. Can you walk us through like how the day starts? So Jody said that you're, you know, in cooking at like 6 a.m. Mm-hmm. You know, is it lights on, everybody's in the door at 6 a.m. or, you know, how does that process work?
We hit the ground running, literally.
Yeah.
Yeah. You walk in the door and it's, we're pulling stuff out of the cooler that we'd prepped from the day before.
You're always working kind of one day in advance, aren't you, a little bit?
Oh, absolutely. You have to.
Okay.
You know, we've got a really good system down. I've got a great staff. And we walk in the door. We're pulling stuff out of the coolers and freezers, and things are going in the oven. Basically, we have to start traying the food at about 8 a.m.
Wow.
Because we do have to serve some places down south, Rensselaer, DeMont. Morocco, those areas, so, you know, they're an hour ahead of us, so we got to get that stuff out.
Right.
So, I mean, we're starting to tray food by 8 a.m., and then when we start doing the regular routine as far as getting everyone meals in this area, we start about 9 o'clock, and by 10:30, we're cleaning up.
Oh, really?
Yeah.
No breakfast, though?
No.
No,
it's pretty much lunch.
Lunch and supper.
And supper. Mm-hmm. And then on Friday, the people will get frozen for the Saturday and the Sunday. So, Jody, what kind of fundraising do you have going on? So people could maybe go on your site or I mean, I've asked you this earlier in the show, but just remind people, like, what kind of fundraisers do you do? I mean, do you go out there and have something in front of Meals and Wheels, and I don't know, people bring clothing, and you do a yard sale out there? I mean, what do you guys do to help fundraise?
We have some primary events that we do. We were not fortunate enough to do our biggest fundraiser, which is called Dine with the Chefs, and we do that every March.
And what is that?
Dine with the Chefs is we feed people lunch on a Sunday. And what we do is we have area chefs come in, and during the appetizer hour, we have anywhere from 8 to 12 different appetizers, so different restaurants come in and do those. And then we sit down for a 5 to 7 course meal.
Seven course?
Yeah.
Okay. I'm listening.
How do you stay so thin there, Keith?
High metabolism, I guess.
Yeah. And, it must be.
We have different chefs for each course. So, and I mean, the food is just usually incredible. And so that's our biggest fundraiser. We usually do lunch for like 400 people. And of course, they buy tickets and silent auction and all those kind of things, your regular thing. We currently have what's called Spinning Spokes Feeding Folks coming up, which is a bike ride. That is on June 6th. Then it's your bike, your way. You can register online at our website, which is MOWNWI.org. Tickets are $40. And if you are in that bicycling, cycling world and everything, there's verbiage on there that you will understand. Things like sag stop and all that. People who ride like really far on their bikes and stuff, that's not me.
Not me at all either. Yeah. I drive in a golf cart.
Yeah.
There you go.
I have a motorcycle. So. You know, we have our regular, you know, we did the Roundup campaign, and then we'll do a campaign towards the end of the year where we ask. And then we have individuals who donate monthly to us. So those are called our meal heroes. And
there's like, what do we call them here? There's a
sustaining membership.
Sustaining memberships.
Yep. So the wide variety of ways. And we're, you know, you can donate online at any time.
Yeah.
Now, is there a phone number that, or everything online?
Everything's online, but I can give you the phone number again. It's 219-756-3663. And if you're old enough to remember when you could do, like, letters in place of that, it's 756-FOOD.
Okay.
Right?
Yeah. So, Keith, you ever give any kind of, like, tours through there? Do people ask? Do any, you know?
Absolutely.
Because it's got to be, it's a huge facility, isn't it? It's pretty big. It's right next to the... My credit union, NIPSCO Credit Union right over there, because that's how I first seen it.
Oh, okay.
And I'm like, okay, what is that over there? But, yeah, do you guys do little tours and stuff like that?
We sure do. A lot of the donors especially would like to see what their money is going towards, and I'm happy to show them around. And like I said, this is a really impressive kitchen. We've got state-of-the-art equipment, which was actually funded by donors. So it's probably one of the cleanest and most functioning kitchens I've been in.
Yeah, isn't that kind of cool compared to being a small little restaurant?
I love it.
I know what he feels like, because when I grew up, I was always in these like Round the Clocks and Paragon, and you're a small little kid. And then when I got my culinary arts degree and Purdue and all whatever, I went down to Florida, and it's like I'm in this whole town. The kitchen is this huge. You never seen the Radisson's.
No.
The Radisson kitchen. Oh
yeah.
My gosh.
That
I mean,
great.
It was like a refrigerator inside of another walk-in with the freezers in there. It's like amazing how big these kitchens are. But, you know, back then we used to make like all the mayonnaise, all the salad dressing. We used to make everything. Now, you guys do any of that? Like, how much do you go by scratch?
We're moving closer to doing more things with scratch. Labor's obviously been a big issue for a lot of people in this business.
Right. Yeah.
We're for the first time ever fully staffed.
Okay.
And we're going to hope to do, you know, bring out more scratch things.
Okay. So like Keith is super modest. All right.
Okay.
So like the dill sauce and all those sauces he makes from scratch. The herb crusted pork loin, you know, he's doing all of that and everything. So, I mean, he's really being modest on you know, this whole scratch thing, you know. He does a lot of stuff from that. I mean, it's not all that way. All of our cold salads on the side and everything are like from scratch and everything. And so we do a lot more than,
what's good from scratch is it is cheaper, but you got to use a little more labor.
Absolutely.
But it tastes better.
Definitely tastes and better.
And usually lasts longer. Unless you have a bunch of preservatives.
That's the big thing there is you have more control over what's in the food.
Yeah.
You buy stuff that's already prepared. There's always tons of sodium in there and things that you really don't, you can't read half the ingredients with what they are.
Yeah.
So you have a lot more control over the nutrients and everything that goes into
believe it or not, we only got like 4 minutes left.
Oh, wow.
So what's something new? What's a new coming up? What's coming down the line for you new? I know it's with Meals on Wheels. What's going to be new? Do you have anything new? Do you move your menu towards like seasonal items too?
Absolutely. We're in the midst of our spring-summer menu. And then October, we'll start our fall-winter. So, obviously in fall-winter, you're going to have some heavier foods. Meatloaf and chicken and dumplings. Like I said, good stick to your ribs type Midwestern food.
Do you like cooking more of that, the more of the wintery stuff, or you like cooking more of the summery stuff?
I like it all. It's it depends on what's
I like the wintery stuff for some reason. I like the sauces and the gravies. I don't know why.
Even in the spring and summer, you're using light sauces stuff, too, but they're just a little bit lighter,
I guess being from the coffee shops, I'm just used to that slop all the time, just slopping it in and going. Jody, tell us what's coming up new. Any new things coming up with Meals on Wheels down the line?
What do you got for me, Jody?
I'm
going to probably find out right now.
You're going to find your new job.
No, we're always looking at different ways that we can reach clients and reach individuals out there. So I know we're looking at doing maybe some different types of chilled meals.
Okay.
Offering different varieties of stuff. And then what we're always also looking at is, our clients as they move older, what are their dietary expectations? Us as individuals are going to be a little more snobbish than, the older generation who had a more simplistic palate. We are going to be demanding, a little bit different type food. So always looking at those kind of things.
Who do you got online there, Tom?
Actually, it was a lady from Charlotte. A lady named Charlotte, not from Charlotte. A lady named Charlotte from Cedar Lake who I'm going to pass this note on to both of you, Jody and Keith, about a recommendation for a place that a local place that makes pies for auctions and for fundraisers.
Oh,
so as
okay.
a way to maybe do some more fundraising. And great. So I'll pass it off to them. So Charlotte from Cedar Lake, thank you for calling in on Let's Eat. We got about 2 minutes left.
It went back fast.
And I need to eat the rest of the salmon.
Okay.
Before ATC, because I'm in for Sharon today for all things considered. So if you hear me with my mouth full during the newscast, that's what I'm eating.
So I guess real quick, I'm going to ask you both. Who do you want to thank?
Thank you. I want to thank our donors. I want to thank Keith for bringing just amazing food. And let's face it, food is an extremely important thing to all of us in our lives.
Food is entertainment. Who do you want to thank, Keith, out there?
I'd definitely like to thank you for bringing us in. And
I want to thank you for coming in.
I want to thank Sandy, our executive director, for hiring me because this is probably one of the funner jobs I've had.
Don't you love that when you get a job?
Oh, it's fantastic.
Yeah, believe me, I worked in all these restaurants and I got a job in the grocery store. And I was like, great. Like, this is so much different. You know what I mean? But out of that hot kitchen into a cool grocery store. I want to thank both of you guys for coming in, spending the time to come out here. I know you're both busy. I want to thank Meals and Wheels for letting you to come in. And I want to thank everyone out there for listening in. I want to thank Tom Maloney for
They said salmon, and I said, okay, Jose, you're sick today. I'm going to cover Let's Eat. And Jose's like, but I want salmon. I said, tough. I'm the boss, Jose. These are the rules. All right, Keith, I have one more question for you. So she's a cereal girl. When you're cooking solo, what are you cooking as a chef?
You're at home, just you for dinner.
I'm a sucker for a chili dog, a good chili dog.
See what's funny? You know what's funny is I'm like that too. I don't go fancy.
No.
I go really basic.
Yeah.
So I want to thank you both for coming in, Jody, and I want to thank Chef Keith from Meals and Wheels. I want to thank everyone for listening. I want everyone to have a great weekend. I know it's going to be cold, but get out there. I'm sure there's going to be some sunshine you can find. And enjoy your weekend. Yasu.